welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And good afternoon and welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We're going to look into education issues as it pertains to discussion on the State Board of Education here in Ohio of the social-emotional learning standards. That's right, that liberal jargon is a proposal that actually passed the State Board of Education, but not without a fight by some of our conservative members. In just a minute, we're going to be going to one of those members to talk about what happened on the State School Board of Education in debate this month. But as we do, we want to give you an action item, of course. Last week, we talked about House Bill 239, which is in the Primary and Secondary Education Committee, chaired by Lou Blessing. That piece of legislation would do away with American government and history standards and testing in Ohio schools. It'd actually do away with the end-of-course exam, all but killing what we know as the Founding of American Documents curriculum. That's the fantastic legislation and curriculum that we got enacted into law 7 years ago. It took us 10 years to get that through the Ohio General Assembly and signed by Governor Kasich. And for the last 7 years, our young people have been learning about the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, the Federalist and Anti-Federalist Papers, the Northwest Ordinance, and the Ohio Constitution in the Ohio classroom from the 8th through the 12th grade with an end-of-course exam requirement, which guarantees that the teachers will have to, and the school districts and the schools will have to spend time teaching the subject matter because it's in the graduation test. Well, here comes the liberal Teachers Association with their union members, and they last year attempted, 2 years ago rather, attempted a proposal on the State Board of Education, which we defeated. Many of you made phone calls and emails. Thank you for that, and God bless you. But now, here it comes by way of legislation, and it is has a Republican sponsor, Gail Manning, and a Democratic sponsor in the Primary and Secondary Education Committee in the House, and we proposed opposition testimony last week. Well, this week it did not have a hearing, so that was a bit of good news. But keep the calls and phone calls going, the letters and phone calls going, folks, because it's making a difference. And where you can obtain that information is the Ohio Christian Alliance website. Go to ohioca.org, and right at the top of the website, you'll see the links for the committee and for the opponent testimony that we presented before the committee. And so those are your talking points, basically telling the committee vote no on HB 239. We don't want it. We want to continue American government and history standards as they are currently in the Ohio classroom. So save the Founding of American Documents curriculum by voting no on House Bill 239. With that, we're going to turn to our guest this hour, and that is State Board of Education member Kirsten Hill from Amherst, Ohio. She serves in the 2nd District of the State Board of Education, and she was putting up a valiant fight against social-emotional learning standards. We're going to find out just what that is, but it's really not good, and there's a lot of concerns with it. Unfortunately, it did pass the State Board of Education by an affirmative vote, but not without a fight. Kirsten, welcome to the program.
Thanks. Glad to be with you, Chris.
Well, thank you for serving on the State School Board. I know a lot of folks in your district were thrilled to see you win election in November, and of course, you've just been there a matter of months, but you're headlong into a battle already when it comes to autonomy of the individual, and of course, parental rights. And this has all the makings of something of which the state is taking more of the role of nanny state or parental role rather than the parents overseeing the education of their child. Explain.
Yeah, that's for sure. I am new in the education realm, just started my term January 1st this year, and my background is in business. Though I do have two children and a family, so I've know what it's about to try to get your children supposedly educated at the schools. But what you've said so far is on the mark. The social-emotional learning standards that passed last week Essentially, it's hard to discern, but it's a sleight of hand, moving the locus of the responsibility over children's basically values, attitudes, and beliefs from the home to the school.
Well, that's right.
Yeah,
and looking at some of these talking points of the concerns about social emotional learning standards, and we'll get to where maybe this came from because it seems like it came out of nowhere. But some of the concerns are no expert consensus on the definition of social emotional learning. I always like when it's tongue in cheek when it's ambiguous in its definition. I mean, people are like, "What is that?" And parents are going to say, "What is that? What social-emotional learning standards? I want my kids to learn the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic. I don't want them, what's this other business? I need these kids to be able to function by way of reading and math and science. I mean, what's this other business?" So tell us, in your opinion, what you've heard on the State Board of Education, what is social-emotional learning standard by those promoting it?
Yes, Castle, which is basically the godfather of this, and that stands for Collaborative for Academic, Social, and Emotional Learning. They are out of Chicago, and they have kind of broken it down into sort of some broad categories, self-awareness, and these are right off of the standards, self-management, social awareness, relationship skills, and then responsible decision making. Those are how they describe them. But essentially, in everyday terms for the family, what we're talking about are the values, attitudes, beliefs, dispositions, behaviors of the child. So that's. the technical terms that I described first, the self-awareness, self-management, these standards are all drawn up in a big chart that are now available on this Ohio Department of Education website, and it'll give examples in the various grade sections of kindergarten to second grade, third to fifth, middle grades, and high school, I can give some examples of what those are. Identify. So they're tasking the student to be sort of an observer of themselves. I don't want to get too much into the weeds of it, but I could tell myself that this was going to get we're getting way far away from what we consider, the basics of education, of learning. Now we're going to get into how the student is feeling.
Oh, yeah. This is fraught with all kinds of problems just on its face. And, and I know people would sit back and say, well, look, we know that, a lot of the students coming from single-parent homes or broken homes and all kinds of, problems, especially in the inner cities, certainly those are troubled students coming into the classroom. It takes an extra skill by a teacher to keep their focus, their attention, to get them moving towards their personal goals for the students. And that's part of the skill of teaching. And, we would like to commend our teachers. I mean, I think teaching is a worthy profession and it's a calling. And, I think back to the great teachers I've had in my life along the way who had great input. So a teacher has a lot of tasks in front of him or her in the classroom, no doubt. And so if you do see a student that's troubled with some things that may come from home, not that you want to address that directly with them, because that's not always the answer, but to kind of redirect for them, to give them something positive to stand on, to keep them, moving in the direction what they need to do to achieve their academic goals at the level of which they can achieve them. And of course, and there's a lot of teachers that do just that, and it's a juggling act. But this business is putting a template of, social-emotional learning standards. Everybody's got a problem. No, you don't start from that premise, okay? Not everybody's got a problem. Not everybody's, having these kinds of issues. But, you have no idea. Well, look, that's part of the gift of teaching and the administration and those kinds of things is to help each student to achieve their goals for the academic success that they need for on their pathway to graduation. This business here doesn't do it. Yet, in fact, to me, this is like a distraction. There's no answer here. Whoever came up with this is, you know, again, here we go. It's really liberal jargon here. Social emotional learning standards. I'm like, wait a second. How do you learn math, science, English lit, history with that? You know, you don't.
If I can interject, Chris, it's helpful to look at some of the examples of how this is being implemented in schools. So in Cleveland, they've been doing social emotional learning type items for about 10 years now. And there was a profile in an article just in the last couple days here of visiting a school in, I think it might have been the LeBron James-sponsored school in the Akron area. The school's called I Promise or something like that.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, there's a big ado about that opening last year. Yeah, go ahead.
Right. So they describe an activity that is in the realm of this social-emotional learning. And essentially, when the students arrive at the school, they will spend the first hour of their school day focused in this area. Everything else aside, this is more important in that first hour of school to discuss the feelings of the students. As you say, there is a place and there is a need. And since time immemorial, teachers have been developing positive and useful relationships with their students.
That's right.
On a one-on-one basis as they need it. But this is doing this in statewide standards is a prescription that everybody needs it, and we need to prescribe it across the board. And that's, the next question is, how do you measure whether it worked? You know,
well,
and
that's right.
And then we get into the discussion of how do you measure this?
Well, and then not only that, here we go by the state collecting data on students, and then social-emotional learning infused into academics resulting in psychological manipulative standards, not rigorous or clear like math and English. These are some of the concerns of the bullet points of those who have been looking at this and saying, hey, we got a problem here. I agree with their concerns. Your thoughts?
Yes. In fact, there's a Code of Federal Regulations, Chapter 3498.4, something like that, that discusses this basically delving into privacy and schools extracting information that is not in the realm of what they should be looking at. So it could turn into students being submitted to psychiatric or psychological examinations, testing, and then could be even treatment. And is it, you know, are these teachers, are they equipped to be psychologists and psychiatrists? I mean, just doing the examination or testing, it's notorious that kind of trying to measure those items is difficult, and there's a lot of pitfalls. There's a lot of it relies on a student's self-reporting. Well, there's one case that's mentioned, and I must mention one resource if any of your readers want to dig into this more. I would say the best place to go is to the Pioneer Institute. There was a white paper titled Social Emotional Learning, K-12 Education as New Age Nanny State, and it's written by Dr. Karen Ephraim and Jane Robbins. And you may recognize the name Jane Robbins. She was in the fight against the Common Core, and this is all part of the Common Core ends. That paper is written in March 2019.
But, we'll put this on the website and
make
it available. And I have that printed out here of the materials you sent. I want to get real quick to the proposal, because you actually put up a fight on this on the state school board. This was a proposal of some of the social-emotional learning standards to be adopted by the state school board for the Department of Education to implement into the school districts, if I got that correct. You put together a proposed amendment. Now, you did garner some support for this, and I'd like to read briefly the amendment that you proposed that would have dealt with the concerns on this. Item 19, Social-Emotional Learning Standards Resolution on June 11th. Board of Education voting agenda. Be it further resolved, the Ohio Board of Education, the Ohio Department of Education, will not develop any form of assessment to measure or gauge students' progress in learning or mastering the social-emotional learning standards. Be it further resolved, this SEL standards will not be factored into any form of measurement used to evaluate a teacher. Be it further resolved, the Ohio Department of Education will not require or recommend that a student's mastery of the SEL standards be measured through any local form or formative or summative assessment. Be it further resolved, no student shall be required as part of any program or activity related to social-emotional learning standards to submit to any form of psychiatric, psychological examination, testing, or treatment without prior written consent of the student's parent or guardian, God bless you for writing this, in which the purpose is to elicit information about the student's attitudes, habits, traits, beliefs, or feelings. Now, folks, this is a good amendment. It's really sticking up for our parental rights, our individual rights as taxpayers who pay for school districts. Unfortunately, what was the fate of this proposal, Kirsten?
Yes. In fact, this is the formal resolution, and I need to give credit to Melanie Elsie, because she really helped to put this all into words here. In May, at the way these...
But this was voted down.
Yes, the resolutions go through the committee first. So
right,
at the committee level, I attempted to stop this, or I attempted to amend the resolution to approve it. And I simply said, you know, no assessment, collection of students' social-emotional learning traits by the state, you know, by the state level. I'm addressing the state level. Local schools are supposed to have local control. So if they wanted to adopt something, that's not addressed here. This is totally focused on what the state would do. But my amendment in the committee did not pass, and then the resolution for adopting the standards went to the June 11th meeting, which was last week, and there were five other members of the current 17-member board who did vote with me to adopt my amendment on the standards resolution, but it failed. Ended up being 6 of us for this amendment and 11 people against it. And then we went forward and voted on the whole, or no, it was 7 people for it. Nick Owens had switched spots. And then when the standard came up for resolution, we also voted against the whole standards, and that vote was 11-6.
Well, I thank you for putting up this proposal. So let's go through the, if we shall, those who voted for this amendment, which we would favor, which concerns parental rights. So that would be Kirsten Hill, that would be Sarah Fowler, that would be Nick Owens, and John Hagen. Who else?
Jenny Kilgore out of the Cincinnati area.
Okay.
And Mike Toll.
And Mike Toll.
And Lisa Woods, I'm not sure if you said, she did
no.
also vote for this amendment.
Okay, very good. So those were members that stood for parental rights, concerns over the overreach of the state, and the rest of these members, and some of them we have to, fair disclosure, they were part of the teachers union, either currently or at one time. They're there at the behest of the teachers union. They voted against this amendment, which would have upheld parental rights and restrictions on the state to do these kinds of assessments, psychological and psychiatric assessments of your child without written permission by the parent. And this, unfortunately, this proposal that Kirsten, you put together and the other 6 supported was turned down. So where does that leave us now that the so-called social-emotional learning standards proposal was adopted by the State Board of Education? Now what happens?
Well, what I'm telling people now is to sort of keep an eye out on a local level. You know, I'm trying to sound the alarm at the state level. But what I would suggest to your listeners is keep a close eye on to your newspaper and what kind of activities are happening in your local schools. Or if you're a parent, if you see something about climate survey, and a lot of those will be automatically, your children will be asked to take these surveys. Even just taking these surveys can be damaging to children, in fact. So I would, sound the alarm and let me know if you find out. We know that the Olentangy schools had such a survey and asked very private information from the child that it reveals information about the families then. So it's not just the child's information that becomes public, but it could be your family.
Well, we're talking with Kirsten Hill. She is the State Board of Education member from District 2 and from the Amherst area. And she is currently serving on the State School Board. She was elected last November in the elections for the State Board of Education. Kirsten, we really thank you for your service as a conservative serving on the State Board of Education and, of course, watching out for these kinds of things that are an overreach by government and education that would be a violation of parental rights and watching out for, our educational choices as well on the State Board of Education. Now, so the proposal passed. It went to the Department of Education now, obviously.
Yes.
And the superintendent. So they're going to start implementation then?
What will happen is right now it's voluntary for local districts to start implementing social-emotional learning standards. It's voluntary. But from the five-year plan language that was adopted by the board last year, by the state board last year, I would suspect that there will be assessment and measurement, and then down the line, possible collection of data from local districts by the state. They deny that they will do this right now, but because my amendment didn't pass, and the other members are approving it, and they're all about data, I have my concerns that that's what we're looking at. Is a mandatory participation at some point in time.
Well, folks, that's why elections matter, and those who serve us on the State Board of Education, these are elected positions. In fact, you can go to the Ohio Christian Alliance website, and the link on the bottom side of the left-hand page of the State School Board to contact your State School Board members. But also, right on the top of the page, House Bill 239, we have an opportunity to defeat this bill. We need you to get calls and emails into that committee, again, to save the Founding of American Documents curriculum, the American Government History Standards, so our children can learn the Constitution, continue to learn the Constitution in the Ohio classroom. Well, Kirsten, thanks for being my guest today. God bless you, and thank you for your service on the State Board of Education.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you so much. And, of course, if you've missed any of this program, go to our website. You can hear it in its entirety at ohioca.org. Thanks for listening.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.
Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity.
And the soldiers who stormed the beaches of Normandy and the Allied liberation of Europe. On D-Day, all those warriors set out on their mission. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt led our nation in prayer.
The D-Day Prayer Project is an effort to add FDR's D-Day prayer in its entirety at the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. This wonderful historical presidential prayer will be a lasting tribute to our World War II veterans. If you'd like to make a contribution towards the effort of adding this prayer to the memorial, go to the website at ddayprayerproject.org. That's ddayprayerproject.org.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And good afternoon and welcome to this edition of News in Focus. This week we're going to focus on House Bill 239, an attempt to reduce testing in the Ohio classroom, but in all reality, it will put an end to what we know as the Founding of American Documents curriculum. This is legislation that we passed 7 years ago, SB 165, and we're going to talk about the original bill, House Bill 165, that strengthened American government and history standards in the classroom through the 8th through the 12th grade in Ohio schools, with an end-of-course exam. This has actually been a marked improvement over previous curriculum that really did not spend any time teaching the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, the Northwest Ordinance, our founding documents of this country. That time in the school calendar was diminished over the years, and so to rectify that, a group of legislators and yours truly worked on getting this past the Ohio legislature. It actually took us 10 years to convince enough legislators and a governor to sign it into law. And in 2012, in the 129th General Assembly, Governor Kasich did sign it into law. In fact, I'm looking at the photo on my wall in my office of the group of people that are with me on that bill signing back in 2012. Since that time, one full credit hour in the 8th to the 12th grade is dedicated to American government and history, namely the U.S. Constitution with an emphasis of the Bill of Rights, the Northwest Ordinance, the Declaration of Independence, the Ohio Constitution, the Northwest Ordinance are to be taught in the Ohio classroom in the 8th through the 12th grade with an end-of-course exam. So this has been a great achievement here in Ohio, and now a new threat is coming. The threat comes by the way of an innocuous bill that would basically reduce testing of the burdensome testing in the classroom. Well, folks, if they take away the end-of-course exam, you can all but kiss goodbye the Founding of American Documents curriculum. With me on the phone is former State Senator Tim Grindel. He is currently serving as a judge in Geauga County, and he was the original sponsor of this bill back in the 129th General Assembly. The sponsors ended up being State Senator Larry Obolf, who is currently the Senate President. Of course, he's concerned about this, too. He doesn't want this passing, but the effort is started in the House Education Committee, and we'll get to the details on that in just a minute. The House sponsor back in the 129th was John Adams, former State Representative John Adams. You got to love that, was the House sponsor. We'll have him on the program in the future talking about this. Well, next week will be another hearing, and we're going to line up a whole new group of opponents to House Bill 239, the effort to really take away the end of course exam. And what will then happen will then there'll be no compelling by the teachers or the administrations of these schools to actually spend this time in the classroom to teach the Constitution. Judge, what's your thoughts on all this?
Well, you know, Chris, they say that if people don't learn from history, they're doomed to repeat it. And there can be nothing more important for our young folks but to learn the founding principles of liberty, of fair market, of capitalism and merit, but with rights that protect people so they can achieve with their efforts their goals in life. And suddenly we're living in a time when I just saw a poll that 55% of the 18 to 54-year-old women in the poll would prefer socialism. And it's clearly because our schools weren't teaching those folks when they were going through high school the founding principles, the founding documents, and they're being misled into believing a system that has failed everywhere is somehow better than a system that has made America great over the last 240-plus years. So I think it's critical that we teach it, get it, keep it in the schools. That's why we fought so hard, 12 years ago, to get it passed, because people need to learn these principles, understand these principles, and then they won't be misled into pursuing socialism or other, you know, governmental forms that are illusionary and delusional. And it has to stay in our schools. I think you can see what happens when it wasn't being taught. Look at that generation who weren't learning the founding principles that they don't understand. And then it's compounded when a guy running for president from New Jersey, I think, says that the statement all men were created equals in the Constitution. Well, now you got people in the U.S. Senate who don't know the difference between the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. And it's just critical. Our country was based on these principles. It achieved and succeeded on these principles. And our young people need to learn these principles, or else, you know, they're doomed to repeat the failures of other great nations by going in other and wrong directions.
Well, that's exactly right. And that we're talking about the founding of American documents curriculum. This is the American government and history standards in the state of Ohio, which right now is one of the strongest curriculums across the country. 7 years ago, we got it passed through the legislature. It took us 10 years to do that. That's what you are referring to, the decade it took us to convince enough legislators, to convince people on the state school board, and to convince the governor that it was time to strengthen the American government history standards in Ohio schools. And that was the founding of American documents curriculum, legislation that outlined the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, the Federalist and Anti-Federalist Papers, the Northwest Ordinance, and the Ohio Constitution in American civics classes through the 8th through the 12th grade with an end-of-course exam, one full credit hour dedicated to these studies, a half an hour for American history and half an hour for American government. This is really working, Tim. What we've seen over the last few years is the aptitude of graduating seniors in Ohio, and we're going to be doing a polling. We're going to be doing a study. We're having a university group conduct a study comparing Ohio students with their counterparts in other states that don't have this curriculum, and I think that finding is going to show that we've made progress over the last 7 years. The last thing we want to do is give up on it now, and that's what the attempt is with House Bill 239. And folks, what we want you to do, go to the Ohio Christian Alliance website, and on the top, you'll see a link. Contact the Education Committee. That's chaired by Lou Blessing in the Ohio House. It's called the Primary and Secondary Education Committee, but previously known as the Education Committee. Contact those members. Let them know that you want them to vote no on House Bill 239, and because this will do away with the end-of-course exam in American government as the bill is written right now. Now, yesterday, we gave testimony in committee, and a handful of us went down there to give opposing testimony. You know, Tim, I received 20 questions from the committee. I was up there for about a half an hour. Wow. Normally, wow. They say, how long do you need for your testimony? I said 5 minutes, but there was a lot of questions that came forward from the committee and some thoughtful questions, quite honestly. And the Education Committee is made up of former teachers, so there was decades of educational experience on that committee yesterday. We may agree to disagree when it comes to the testing requirement, Because again, what we're finding out is when the test is not required in the classroom, either the administrator, the teacher themselves, crowd it out with some other kind of curriculum or some kind of other study during the school day. That's been our experience. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, there's other tests. I think we test too much in other areas in Ohio. I wasn't a big fan of some of the, just the testing on top of testing for the sake of testing approach in some other areas. But when it comes to the founding principles and the founding fathers, you have to test that so that you keep the teachers' feet to the fire that they're going to teach those subjects and not let them the time drift into other areas where they're maybe taking other tests or just because they don't have a real aptitude to want to teach those subjects, and if they're not being tested, they can kind of skip through it. So I think the testing is mandatory for the founding principles is critical. I think if they need to take away some of the other tests on top of tests, then they should look at those tests, because I think there's some duplication in other areas. It's certainly not in this area. And I go back to this point. If you talk to high school seniors and recent high school seniors, at least in my experience, they have a much better grasp of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the differential with the Declaration of Independence, than let's say if you talk to kids who have been out of high school for 10 years in Ohio, most of whom don't even know we have three branches of government and are surprised when they learn certain things that are in the Constitution that they didn't have any clue. So I think it is working, Chris. I think it's critical. I think you have to keep the testing to make it work. And I think if we're going to keep our democracy and we're going to keep our country on the path it was supposed to be on, we have to get this back into the schools and keep it in the schools, not let it get away. And I think we will regret this if we don't. I think these movements for socialism is an example of what happens when young people don't learn what is the fundamental basis for our country.
Well, that's right. And so in committee yesterday, so the four areas they want to do away with testing is math, science, English lit, and American government history. And a question came forward and said, well, if we omitted the reduction of the testing in American government history, would you oppose the bill? And I said, no, because our emphasis and our interest is in American government history. We want that testing to be retained. And let me say, the Tea Party movement 10 years ago, they helped us with this. They're not for mandates on local level. And I think to go along with your point about testing on levels of testing and testing, and how we got here was two different ways. One, federal testing, and then state testing. And that time back when you were in the legislature, the Republican-held legislature wanted more accountability to local schools, and they were requiring some end-of-course exams to make sure the teachers were doing their jobs in the classroom, because you had tenureship, you had teachers that really should have retired that weren't as sharp as they were when they first started, and they were kind of lazy on the job, and then because of the unions and tenureship, the younger, vibrant teachers weren't getting an opportunity to get into the classroom. So then they said, well, let's put this testing requirement in to see if these kids are actually learning something, because we have failing districts. But then here comes the feds with Common Core. And with that came a whole nother level of testing. So folks, get the understanding here and discern between the two. We're against Common Core. We're against the federal mandate in the classroom. Unfortunately, it's somewhat here to stay like Obamacare, unless you can get agreement in Congress. And right now that's not going to happen with a divided chamber of the House and Senate. But on the local level with Common Core, unfortunately as well, the state took the money, so they're obligated to do the terms of the contract. Therefore, coming back, the teachers' union wants to reduce some of this testing. We're not opposed to that altogether, but only on one subject matter do we believe there should be an end-of-course exam, and that's American government history. And, Tim, that goes along with you used to pass out the Ohio Constitution when you were in the legislature to your counterparts and said, hey, why don't you take time to read this before we start making laws in Ohio at the beginning of every General Assembly? I share that with people because there are legislators that get sworn in who have never read the Ohio Constitution, for Pete's sake. So you used to do that as a practice. In the Ohio Constitution, it specifically states the one duty of public education is to teach the Constitution.
Right. I mean, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of people who should read the Constitution, especially if you're going to be in the legislature, because that is basically the document by which you exist. But they don't. But, you know, no, I voted against No Child Left Behind. I think I might have been the only Republican Ohio legislator to do that, because I didn't think the federal government should be telling us what to do in our schools.
Right.
And Common Core was just the next generation of interference by the federal government in our schools.
Right.
I believe there should be a federal Department of Education. I think the Fed shouldn't be bribing our schools to do what their mandates are at the expense of local control of schools. Schools should be controlled locally. The state has an obligation under the Constitution to help provide funding. I think the state has an obligation to step in to make sure the fundamental principles of our country are being taught. But I think if we're going to cut back on things, they should figure out some way to deal with their, you know, their deal with the devil on Common Core, and not go back to a system where kids graduate from high school and don't understand that we have three branches of government, and that you have rights to congregate, you have rights to remain silent, you have rights for religion and rights to own and bear arms. I mean, these are, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter if you know math or science if you don't know how our country's supposed to operate. And I think that's the thing they need to get back to, because this is the thing with the socialism. The only way people could be running around screaming that socialism is good is if they're ignorant of the founding of this country, why it was founded the way it was, why we were put together as a republic and not as a just pure democracy, why we have the systems of checks and balances that we have in our government, and you know, what are the rights of the people that the government's not supposed to be interfering with? If the people don't understand that, I don't really know if they can write good English and do physics makes a lot of difference, because they're going to be doing it in an environment that is counterproductive to the American way.
Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity.
And the soldiers who stormed the beaches of Normandy and the Allied liberation of Europe. On D-Day, all those warriors set out on their mission. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt led our nation in prayer.
The D-Day Prayer Project is an effort to add FDR's D-Day prayer in its entirety at the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. This wonderful historical presidential prayer will be a lasting tribute to our World War II veterans. If you'd like to make a contribution towards the effort of adding this prayer to the memorial, go to the website at ddayprayerproject.org. That's ddayprayerproject.org.
One of our great founding patriots, John Adams, once warned his generation, "A constitution of government once changed from freedom can never be restored. Liberty once lost is lost forever." Thomas Jefferson stated, "If the nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be." Folks, we're talking about the founding documents of our nation and the importance of teaching it to our young people. And this week when we celebrate Flag Day and that patriotism on Friday, we need to think about the teaching of our founding documents, the Constitution, with an emphasis of the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, the Federalist and Anti-Federalist Papers, the Northwest Ordinance, Ohio Constitution in the Ohio classroom from the 8th through the 12th grade. I know you support that as our listeners. We've made great progress in Ohio, but House Bill 239 is the way as it's drafted right now, has a provision that will do away with the end of course exam in this American government history standard. We have to retain it. Call your representative today and your state senator and say no to House Bill 239. We're talking to former state senator Tim Grindel. He's currently a judge in Geauga County. Judge, you know, your wife just headed back to the legislature, Diane Grindel. She had been some time. She was a judge, and now she's back in the legislature. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm glad she's back because, when she was there for 8 years before she became an appellate judge, she fought hard for these founding and conservative principles. I actually followed her in the legislature, picked up the battle, and working with you, Chris, and some other good conservative folks, we got a lot of things done. I think we need folks like my wife back down there to keep us on that course, because you know, there's a drift that sets in, and you need people who are willing to say, hold it, we've got to remember the these principles and those principles, and I'm very confident my wife will be doing that. I certainly think she understands the issues of House Bill 239, and as a strong conservative, she certainly will be, I think, trying to help us. She doesn't sit on that committee, unfortunately, but I think she will try to help us carry the message that, I don't know how you can, you can't overstate that a country that loses that freedom, those comments you made from our founding fathers, they were brilliant men. They didn't have computers and they didn't have the internet, but they had a vision. They understood that democracy and freedom and liberty and our system of life and government, it isn't guaranteed, and it has to be protected by the people generation to generation. But if they're ignorant, what are they trying to protect? And I think that's what we come back to here. I mean, do the people want to protect the American way, or do they want to see the country drift in another direction? And like I said, I can't think of anything more important than teaching people in high school the fundamentals of what makes this country great and what makes it tick, and what makes it a system where there's still a lot of personal freedom. And while some people seem to love the idea of government entitlement, you know, they want free this, free that, free schools, free medical care, they're delusional, because there's no such thing as free. Somebody somewhere has to pay for it. And if they go back to the beginning of our country, they'll understand that.
Well, that's right. And we're seeing a move across the country in some of the blue states to go to a simple democracy. Our founders called a simple democracy the devil's own tool, or mobocracy.
Yeah.
Folks, we're a representative republic with the rights of the individual. In fact, we don't have a monarch in this country. You are your own sovereign to make decisions for your own life and for your own family. We don't have a king in this country. Each individual citizen under the Constitution is their own monarch. You are your own sense of royalty because of the rights and privileges that have been given to you as a U.S. citizen with the U.S. Constitution. Well, the Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Well, you need to know what your rights and privileges are by reading the Bill of Rights. Read the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. Read the Constitution itself that affords us these liberties and freedoms. The Federalist and Anti-Federalist Papers were debates that went on in the public square during the construct and ratification of the U.S. Constitution. You can put me down as an anti-federalist, which was Thomas Jefferson and Patrick Henry, some of those, because their objections were, though the Constitution was a grand document, they wanted those rights enumerated. And that's how we got the 10 amendments. The First Amendment, of course, is the right to free press and freedom of religion. And so they wanted a guarantee, as it were, and they wanted them spelled out in the Bill of Rights. And so this is the debate that went back and forth. Our young people need to understand that. What predates the Constitution, when the colonies were under the Articles of Confederation, and we opened up the Northwest Territory, of which Ohio is part of, the Northwest Territory banned slavery and advanced religious freedom. Our people need to know that. Everyone needs to know that, Tim, what these documents actually laid out of the wonderful freedoms and privileges we enjoy.
And if they did, they wouldn't be running around screaming for socialism and all of this other nonsensical movement that we're seeing here today. And it strikes me, Chris, as they need to understand, whenever a communist or dictators want to take over a country, the first thing they try to do is silence the people who are intelligent, the people who understand, the people who know, because ignorance is a tool for dictatorship and for socialism and for people who want to have government control of the masses. You can't have people who understand what's going on being able to interfere with the process. And so I don't think it's by accident that for 30 or 40 years, the education system was not concentrating on these fundamental principles. I fear it was part of this slow movement that people didn't want to continue the American way that a lot of us believe is the best way ever. And so I think you have to fight to have that education. You have to fight so that the people aren't ignorant, so that the people understand what it is they have and understand what it is they could lose if they don't stand up for those fundamental rights.
When Ben Franklin came out of the Constitutional Convention, he was stopped by a woman in Philadelphia and said, "What kind of form of government do we have?" He said, "You have a republic, madam, if you can keep it." Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's what we're attempting to do, is to make sure that our young people learn the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and our founding documents in the Ohio classroom. And we need to retain that by defeating House Bill 239. My guest has been former State Senator Tim Grindel, currently judge. Judge, thanks for coming on the program today.
Chris, a pleasure. I hope to go down next week and testify against that bill. So see you next week.
Thank you. God bless. And folks, again, for more information, go to our website at ohioca.org, and you'll see the contact for the House Education Committee. Let them know that you oppose House Bill 239. Thanks for listening, and God bless.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.